Justin Souther, film critic with the Mount Express.
Yes, you are.
To my left is...
Ken Hanke, the other film critic with the Mount Express.
Illustrious Ken Hanke.
The illustrious.
Where are we?
I believe we are in the Cinema Lounge at Carolina, which
yes.
is located somewhere. Where is
on
that located?
Hendersonville Road.
Oh, yes.
And, scenic.
Scenic.
South Asheville.
Scenic.
Skyline.
Garden spot.
Yes.
Garden spot, yes.
And what are we?
We are elitist bastards. And proud of it.
Okay.
Proud of it. And then we've been to the movies and...
we have.
What did we see?
Some movies.
Yeah? What?
Do you want me to start?
I don't remember.
I seem to start every week.
Well, I can start if you'd rather.
You've forgotten what you watched.
I have. I saw... Sucker Punch.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the devil, but I did not shoot the deputy. And I'm actually up one because I have now seen a movie that opens this Friday.
Right.
Which, besides I Saw the Devil, because I've seen Even the Rain. So I've actually seen three movies. How many did you see?
Two.
Okay.
So, not far behind.
Sounds reasonable to me. What two did you see?
Well, I saw Sucker Punch. I didn't get paid.
You didn't get paid, but you
to
set,
watch it.
You
I watched the... that for free. And then I watched Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Not for free.
Roderick Rules.
I see.
I have it confused with my awful trivia team name from the other night, which was Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid. Roderick Stool.
That's just absolutely...
It's not as gross as Diarrhea of a Mad Black Woman. Somehow that's even more frightening.
I don't even want to know where this came from.
Well,
or
you don't need to. This is not on topic.
I can imagine no topic this could be on. Do you want me to go? I've got more than you.
You usually do.
I know.
What do you want to talk about Sucker Punch since we've both seen Sucker Punch?
Let's talk about Sucker Punch.
What did you think?
I thought
of
it was mesmerizingly awful. It was noisy. It gave me a headache. It was retarded. It was everything
so
I
you
expect.
You can't say it's retarded. People are going to be.
It's intellectually challenged.
Right.
You know, I know an awful lot of people who are intellectually challenged that are not. Never mind.
I'm saying this gives retarded people a bad name to compare it
well,
to Sucker,
entirely
Sucker
possible.
Punch.
But in any case, it's Sucker Punch is dismal. It's dismal. I mean, you know you're in deep waters when you start off with a cover of Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics, but of course it's not by the Eurythmics, it's by the lackluster, vapid, empty-faced girl that stars in the movie. And you know that you're in the hands of a really great writer-director when you see a sign with a hospital for the mentally insane. Pray tell me what other kind of insane is there?
Criminally.
It's, yeah, but that's a little mentally insane. Criminally insane is partly, is still...
Well, yeah, but they're dangerous. They're criminals.
They're still
Ken.
Mentally insane.
But it's a subgenre.
Don't be an ass.
Post-mentally insane.
Post-mentally
yeah.
insane?
It's another subgenre.
So what do you have to say about this movie?
It did not give me a headache, but I pretty much agree with you. What was the email I sent you last night that I found it to be?
Well, Pointless was in there.
Yes, it's never
as clever as it thought it was.
And the whole thing seems to be made for college-aged anime nerds with Che Guevara messenger bags, which I'm sure they appreciate having a movie made for them. But
I suppose
it's not
they
really going to be,
you know. I mean,
this whole like
Are you saying
phony,
that?
Like,
are you saying
what are you going to fight for?
That,
like,
that Che Guevara toting anime nerds can't get laid?
No, I'm saying they want to watch chicks in their underwear with guns and be told about how they need to stand up for themselves against whatever it is that this imaginary thing that they're supposed to be fighting for the whole time.
So the whole movie
has
this whole
standing up for yourself
pro-feminine thing going on while completely objectifying these girls,
right,
with a kind of upskirt mentality.
It's like teenage boy.
It's like for kids that are too young to buy an actual pornographic magazine.
Right. So the internet,
they
don't have to buy it.
Well, I realize that, but, you know, perhaps their parents monitor their internet use.
So I guess the conclusion we're drawing is that Sucker Punch, the biggest problem is there's no penetration.
That's true. Okay. And there's definitely no money shot.
No. No. And the whole thing doesn't... It's not only does it... It rips off all these other movies.
Yes, I would have to say it rips off. I would not say that it quotes them. I would not say that it enlarges upon them. It's not influenced by them. It just rips them off.
But at the same time, it's... Even within its own sort of, like, dream logic, which is the only way this movie works, it doesn't make sense.
No,
it makes
no
sense. There's a big escape plan from this brothel.
/ insane
right.
asylum.
Where the very last thing they have to get is this key that can apparently get you anything after that point. Like, they're making Molotov cocktails, and it's like, why didn't you just get the key first?
There was nothing on that list of things they needed that included Molotov cocktails.
No. But they managed to have one.
Yeah,
like, why didn't you just get the key in the first place? You could have got everything else. Basically, this movie says women are dumb, and I find that offensive. Dumb and crazy.
Well, it's either saying that or it's saying that the character played by Scott Glenn is screwing with them by making them do all this other stuff when, in fact, all they needed to do was to get the key.
The bus driver.
Whatever.
I guess you're supposed to be amazed by that little plot
twist. I wasn't amazed by it.
I was like, oh, well, that was dumb.
I wasn't amazed by anything except... The idea, and I think this might actually make the movie better, that this was cut down from a version that actually had musical numbers with them singing and dancing in it. And I suspect that's what we're seeing under the credits, is
right.
One of those cut numbers, which when you see whoever it is dance, you know why we didn't see them dance
right.
in the film. But I suspect that the movie would at least be more... jaw-dropping, and it's pretty jaw-dropping as it stands. I mean, these are people that, you know, build a giant steam-powered bunny rabbit.
Well, they don't build one, it's just there.
It's there, right. Well, you know, the filmmakers built the damn thing.
Clockwork Nazis.
Yeah, steam-powered. Steam-powered Nazis. But they're not Nazis, it's World War I.
Oh, yeah.
They're just Germans. They're German zombies. They didn't have Nazis then. Now, it's entirely likely, I would think, that Zack Snyder doesn't know this.
Though,
I suspect there are many things Zack Snyder doesn't know.
And we talked about this a little bit, but I can't think of anybody, and if you want to enlighten me, you're more than welcome, a director that has worse taste in music.
I couldn't remember who it was, but there was somebody one time that I suggested get a better music collection.
I think it's Ben Stiller. I think Ben Stiller has better taste.
And that could be.
Because he's not all like... Not quite so macho. It's sort of like...
Well, that's true. I mean, I will give Snyder some credit for picking a reasonably obscure Beatles song to the degree that a Beatles song is obscure at all. But then it's a really bad cover.
Yeah, it's all these just bad covers.
Well, so. You know, it's one thing to pay for the rights to use a song. It's another thing to pay for the rights to the actual Beatles, you know.
Right.
That runs into money. Anyway,
I'm sure they could have found it in their $83 million
probably
budget.
But I don't think it's necessary for us to tell people to stay away from this. I believe they have already figured it out.
I've not met a single person who likes this movie yet, which is strange. It feels like I would have ran into somebody What now?
What now, indeed.
I watched, I guess I'll talk about my movie.
You can talk about that? The Wimpy Kid?
Yes.
Or as it says on the sign down at the street, Wimpy Kid?
It still sounds like Wimpy Kid, Ken, when you say it that way.
Wimpy does not sound like Wimpy.
If you say so. I'm just trying to get you to say it one more time.
No.
Well, it's a sequel to the apparent surprise hit.
Well, they say it was a hit, so I guess it was. I don't remember it hanging around.
Well, this one's done good business.
Yes.
Which is funny because
it's pretty sad when you make an action movie aimed at the teen set and it gets the crap kicked out of it. Like $5 million worth of the crap kicked
right
out of it.
And those
by
are
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules.
Right. Well, that's because Diary of a Wimpy Kid's better, for one thing.
Well, I'm sure of that. Sight unseen, I'm
right
sure of that.
It's not a great movie. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's good family entertainment, which is usually on short supply. It's certainly no Gnomeo. It's not great, but it's good. And I toyed with giving it 4 stars. This movie and the first one, I think I like more than I can like honestly be like, hey, this is, you should really go watch this. I think if you're a parent and you've got kids, you should watch it. Because when I came out of the theater, there was parents in front of me that seemed to enjoy it as much as their kids.
Okay.
And it's
I don't think we'll be saying that about Hop.
No. Well, you'll know before I do.
I'll know tomorrow.
But nevertheless, it's one of those rare family, and I think it's the same thing with like Rango, where it's a family film, but it's not stupid, and it doesn't assume that kids are stupid, because normally kids aren't. And there are some stupid kids, but for the most part,
there are
some
stupid adults too. I mean, let's be fair.
But that doesn't mean you have to dumb your movie down for them on purpose. And I don't.
No.
This doesn't. I mean, it's got its fair share of gross out gags, and it's basically just a long sitcom. But it's odd enough and quirky enough to where it's enjoyable. And it's got a surprisingly good handle on how the family dynamic works and. It's good for what it is. If you've got kids and you need them to shut up for an hour and a half, take them to this.
Since the only kid I've got is like 34 years old, I guess I can get out
she
of
might
this
enjoy it.
That's true.
You never know.
She orders the films for a library that is, as you probably end up seeing it anyway.
We should let her know that these are perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. And not the kind of perfectly fine that you sometimes assign to movies that you really didn't like.
No, I like this.
Okay.
It's not great, but I liked it. I would recommend it. And you know, if they make I'm sure they'll make a third one, I'll be fine watching that. So.
Good.
Just more than I can say.
I will be feeling left out if not having seen the first two films, I don't feel qualified.
Well, that's fine.
Qualified.
Because there'll be new Tyler Perry soon.
I'm aware of that. And since you have slapped the onus on me of being the...
Well, Michael Jai White's going to be here next
Tyler
week, and
Perry
he's been in two Tyler
expert
Perry movies, so if I get the chance, I'm going to point out
that... I wouldn't
point out
that into the poor man.
You're like, I've got Ken Hange here, who is a Tyler Perry completist. And he would love to
not
discuss...
Not by intent... Although, after having seen Big Mamas, the Tyler Perry movie doesn't look quite so bad.
I think you've gotten to the point where you almost don't mind
Tyler Perry. I know what they're going to be. I know exactly what they're going to be. You know, so it's not like there's going to be any surprise to this.
It might be one day.
Yeah, he might actually make a good movie that has Madea in it, but I haven't seen that happen yet.
He's getting close, isn't he? Sort of.
Well, the best thing he's made was, of course, for Colored Girls, which, you know, did not do well.
Right.
So naturally, he's not going to do anything like that again. Because it doesn't have Madea. So
for Colored Girls, too.
Now, with Madea action.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway,
okay.
What else did you watch?
What else did I watch? I watched I Saw the Devil.
Uh-huh.
Which...
You found incredibly disturbing.
Yes. It's very brutal.
And if you want to disturb Ken Hinckley, you've got it's a tough nut to crack.
That's true. You could probably disturb me with your political philosophy, but you can't disturb me with blood and guts and violence and, you know, I mean, I've seen
general
it.
Debauchery.
General debauchery. I might even, you know, give that a thumbs up just for general debauchery. This isn't general debauchery. This really is a disturbing, brutally violent, and I really can't classify it as anything other than a horror film, even though it does have a point, because it's an examination of how evil we are prepared to become in order to get revenge on someone. It's not a new theme, but I've never seen it expressed quite this graphically.
Okay.
Because what you have is a basic vengeance film where you've got this special agent whose fiance was killed by this man who then apparently sells the parts to his cannibal friends. And he finds out who it is. He goes after him, but he's not content to kill him. Instead, he maims him and drops this capsule down his throat, which is some sort of GPS thing so he can tell where he is, lets him go, which has the decided downside of the fact that while he's running around loose, he tends to kill people. Then as soon as he's patched up, he catches him and beats the crap out of him again. Only, I mean, we're talking serious torture here. We're talking about, you know, running things through his ankles and, you know, and of course, this being a Korean film, we see all this in lovingly close detail.
Right.
It's extremely bloody. It is definitely a film that I recommend if you can take it. I also should probably warn you that it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Right.
But I was never bored. I was constantly kept interested and occasionally disgusted. And it does have the Korean equivalent of inbred hillbilly cannibals. Only they're much better housekeepers than our inbred hillbilly cannibals. And they don't have bad plumbing. So.
Blame it on the rain.
Even the rain.
Okay.
You blame it on the bossa nova. This is even the rain. Which is a very interesting...
Steve got my Milli Vanilli reference.
I think it is sad that you knew one, and even sadder that he picked it up.
I was in first grade, 10. Of course I'm going to know Milli Vanilli.
Well, I vaguely remember seeing them. It doesn't mean that I remember them. And again,
I
never heard them anyway. I heard other people.
Well, not them.
Yes. So, in any case, this is a Spanish film starring Gael Garcia Bernal. It's made by a woman whose name I can't remember right now. It's about a filmmaker who goes to Bolivia to make a film about Columbus landing, subjugating, enslaving, and forcibly Christianizing the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And they happen to have landed at a time where all the water rights, even the rainwater, which is where the title comes from, are being purchased by this multinational corporation who are going to charge these people for any water that they use ever, anywhere. You can't have your own well. I mean, it's the plot of Quantum of Solace made real. Of course, it also is not entirely blameless on the filmmaker characters either, because, you know, the producer says you can't expect people to pay 300% increase in their water if they're only making $2 a day, and it's pointed out to him that that's what he's paying the extras.
Right.
Now, what I want to know, and which is not addressed by the film or in any of the information I have on the film, is just exactly what the people who actually made this film paid the extras.
Right.
It seems like there's a sort of like built-in back yourself into a corner about this. But the film is entertaining, and it's incredibly persuasive. The acting is very fine all the way through. It's not a film that I would have sought out if I hadn't had to see it, but I'm glad I had to see it. So you should seek it out. And you can see it too. We are showing where we're showing Queen Christina,
yes,
Ruben Mamoulian's
film. In the lounge.
With Greta Garbo.
Did you mention it's for the Film Society?
Yes, this is for the Asheville Film Society. It is free to anyone who cares to come up here. And if last week was any indication, don't be late, because we ran out of anything people could sit on. And
including Ken's lap.
Including my lap,
and
that's
his
true.
Face.
We ran out of that really early.
Hope that makes it in there. That should be the quote to start it.
Yes, well, in any case.
Sit on Ken's face. Anyway.
Anyway, we're showing Ruben Mamoulian's Queen Christina at 8 o'clock on Tuesday.
Tell us about the
April
movie.
April 5th. And it's an interesting film. It's probably the best film Garbo ever made. I would say it's almost certainly the most human film Garbo ever made. She's playing the queen
I've heard a rumor.
The famous queen of Sweden who abdicated, and we actually go that through her abdication, which in real life was probably didn't have a whole lot to do with John Gilbert getting run through with a sword, but you know, it works better in the movie that way. But it's an interesting film for being a period piece. It's not at all stuffy, and it does not, surprisingly, being an MGM picture, I mean, you could get away with a certain amount of this in 1933 still, because that's still pre-code, but it does not ignore the fact that she was bisexual. She does have a woman that hangs around with her whom she kisses on the mouth, which is, you know, and then there is a...
So we've got something for everyone this
week.
Yes,
but there's also a thing that is very interesting in it, which is a sequence in which she is disguised as a boy. And there is, it's obvious, it's obvious to anybody who has, you know, half a brain that this is not a boy. But it's not obvious to John Gilbert in the context of the film. And it's obvious that he's already attracted to her thinking that she's a guy. And there's a ripe chunk of humor the following morning when his servant comes to the door and they're in bed behind curtains and ordering chocolate for two. So, you know, it's a very entertaining film. It has two extremely famous sequences in it. One is the bedroom stroking scene, I'm memorizing this room. In my mind, in the future, I will be spending a lot of time in this room. And then there's the famous ending shot, which is this long, slow track in on nothing but Garbo's face. And she was supposed to think of absolutely nothing, empty her mind. And there is idea behind it is that the viewer sees whatever the viewer wants to see in her expression. And it depends entirely on the person who, you know, and what they wanted to see when they come out of the theater. If you ask them what her emotions were at the end of the film, and of course, in point of fact, they're your emotions, they're not hers. So it's definitely worth seeing.
I didn't get to make my David Bowie reference.
What David?
Oh, well, I'm going to let you figure it out, then. It's going to kill you.
Is it the twisted name on Garbo's eyes? Okay. And we don't have a Thursday Horror Picture Show next week because of Action Fest has commandeered the space for that evening. However, that does not mean that we are bereft of subtle entertainment, of course, because on Friday... That would be April 8th.
I keep getting confused. But
yeah, well, it's the 8th. So, you know, it's the 8th.
Friday.
Yes. At 7:30, we are showing the incredible cult classic Harold and Maude. And we have the stunt coordinator from the film, the man who drove Bud Cort's Jaguar hearse off the cliff at the end. Buddy Joe Hooker here, and he's going to do a Q&A afterwards. And you've talked to Buddy
yes.
Joe.
Uh-huh.
And what did he say about Hal Ashby?
Well, he considers him a mentor, but he also was a personal friend with him, of his. So they knew each other for a long time. So I'm sure.
Well, I know he also worked on Bound for Glory with Ashby, but
So at the very least, I mean, I think we'll get some insight into
the film. It's $5 for. This is in a theater downstairs. This is not upstairs in the lounge. It's $5 for AFS members and $10 to the general public. So, you know, if you wanted to spend the $10 on a membership, then it would only cost you $5 to see the movie, and you'd get perks after that. So it's worth considering. Well, I'm all confused, but that's because I've already seen two of them that are opening, which are, you know, Even the Rain and I Saw the Devil. But also opening, we have Hop.
We do, which you're watching, so I don't
I'm
care
watching it. And
anything about this movie?
Yes, well,
I haven't even seen a trailer. I'm not even gonna.
I liked the poster,
right.
And I saw the trailer. I'm sorry. It's Alvin and the Chipmunks with different rodentia. That's all in the world it is. And by the time it got to the point where the Easter Bunny crapped jelly beans, I was like, no, no.
Should have been Cadbury cream eggs.
It should have been. And that's what Easter is all about anyway.
Yeah.
So, in any case, I'm going to be seeing it.
You're also going to be seeing Insidious.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Insidious. I'm looking forward to Insidious because I actually like James Wan's last film. Well, not his last film, because I think Death Sentence.
Last horror film.
Yeah, his last horror film. Death Sentence, we're not going to talk about that. But I really did like Dead Silence. I mean, it's got its problems, but overall,
but
I liked this
can.
Film. Sucker Punch.
Okay.
Sucker Punch is problem-free and talent-free and
sugar-free.
Entertainment-free. And I'm probably
gluten
sugar-free.
Free.
Gluten-free, yes, that's trendy.
They should start advertising movies.
It gluten-free. Has no trans fats either. All sorts of stuff that we never even heard about when I was a child. Insidious is a horror film from James Wan, and it's instead of a haunted house, they have a haunted child, and that's about all I know, except that the trailer looks pretty creepy. And so we'll see, or I'll see tomorrow. And you're going to be seeing something. What are you going to be seeing?
I'm seeing Source Code.
Mm-hmm.
Which is by the aforementioned Mr. Bowie's son.
Yes.
Which no matter how many movies this
he's
guy makes,
he's going to be David Bowie's son. And I still think he's just go ahead and go by Zowie Bowie.
Right.
You know, instead of Duncan Jones.
So I was wondering, maybe his movies will follow the same arc as his father's.
I can hardly wait for his Berlin period.
Right. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, well.
It's when we get to the 80s that it's trouble. Or deep in the.
No.
Two words, Tin Machine.
Oh boy. I have a CD. I've never gotten through it.
So if we can get to his Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah.
We'll be good.
Yeah, this is... So we're saying that... Our
Moon
our,
was his...
Was his Man Who Sold the World. So this is his Hunky Dory.
Or would that... What about Space Oddity? Is that...
Oh, okay. Give me Space Oddity. But Space Oddity is... So this is only up to Man Who Saved the World. I'm glad you're seeing it.
But... That means we've got one more.
Yes.
And we're good. For a little bit.
Well, we're good. We've got Hunky Dory, and we've got Ziggy Stardust, and we've got Aladdin Sane, and we've got Diamond Dogs. We're okay up until, We're up through 73, we're gold. So.
What is Source Code about?
It's about Jake Gyllenhaal, who's some sort of, is he like in the Air Force or something? I'm not even sure.
I don't know.
They've managed to build this machine, and by they I mean... Movie scientists.
The people who make things like this for movies, yes.
Yes. It's a very science fiction premise of this machine can send you into, the brain of somebody who has died, but only for the last 8 minutes of their life. And so he gets sent into this guy's life before this train explodes in an effort to solve the mystery of
the terrorists.
Who blew this train up so they can stop another terrorist attack later. And so it seems to be just him repeatedly getting shot into this guy's brain over and over and then dying.
Over and over.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a romance.
Right. And all kinds of questions about fate and destiny.
And destiny and fate.
And so, I mean, it looks interesting.
Yes. I mean, I'll accept that it looks interesting.
Serious-minded science fiction. I'm for that. And I like Moon, which is sort of in the same vein of...
Well, I liked Moon, too. But I think you may have liked it a little bit better than I did. But
I think I liked it about the same.
Okay.
But I'm curious enough about this.
Okay.
That I have hope that it'll at least be good.
Well, yeah.
Whether it's great, we'll see. But
I mean, I hope that Hop will end. That's my major hope for that.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that Insidious will be good. That would be very nice. We'll see.
They should have made Hop posters with the Obama, where it says Hop. Why didn't they do that?
I don't know. You should send a letter to the studio and ask them.
Okay.
I think that takes care of us for this week.
Yes.
Yes.
It does. And until next week.
And until next week, we are. I'm Ken Hankey.
I'm Justin Souther.
And we're brought to you by the fine folks at the Mountain Express, who
we
not
also
only
bring you other popular things.
Other popular things.
Like Steve Shanafelt.
That's right. Steve.
He's popular.
Steve, the Colonel Shanafelt. A.K.A. Miami Steve, you know, and he's...
A.K.A. Banana Belt.
Banana Belt, yes. And A.K.A. he's eating tacos.
They were nachos.
Oh, he was eating nachos.
Pork nachos.
Pork nacho. Pulled pork nachos.
I was starving.
Covered in white stuff. And it made him feel all dirty.
Is it sticky?
Sticky, yeah. So, in any case... That, I think, settles our hash for one more week. And I think we'll go away now.